Hello again, spark-hearted listeners. I'm Harmonia, goddess of harmony, granddaughter of Hera, daughter of Aphrodite and Ares, and a deeply curious observer of divine rebellion. Today I want to tell you a story that begins with mud. Not thunder, not war, just simple, earthy mud, and one pair of hands, careful, clever hands, shaping something never seen before, a human. This is the tale of Prometheus. He was not a god, not exactly. He was a titan, born before the Olympians. And while the other immortals argued about thrones and thunderbolts, he watched the earth. He saw its emptiness, its silence. And he imagined something more. So he shaped you. Yes, you, humans. Not perfect, not powerful, but full of potential. Zeus didn't like that. He feared what Prometheus had made. And when fire was stolen to help you survive, Zeus was enraged. What follows is a story of rebellion, punishment, and prophecy, of fire stolen from the heavens, of chains, eagles, and a secret whispered through time. Because the fire Prometheus gave you, it didn't just light the dark, it lit the future. And as we sometimes say on the Olympic family, even the gods have issues. In the earliest days, before temples, before stories, before even thunder had a name, the earth was quiet, wild and beautiful, yes, but silent. The gods had shaped mountains, oceans, animals, but they hadn't yet made someone to wonder about it all. Enter Prometheus. While the other immortals basked in golden halls, Prometheus wandered the hills of Earth. He saw rivers cut through stone, clouds chase shadows, stars blink awake, and something stirred inside him, a longing not just to watch, but to create. He knelt in the mud, not by command, not for glory, but because he wanted to. And with those muddy hands, he shaped the first humans. He gave them straight back so they could look at the stars, long fingers so they could shape the world in return, and thoughtful brows so they could wonder why. Zeus watched from afar. At first he was curious, then suspicious, then irritated. "Why are you shaping toys?" he asked. "They're not toys," Prometheus said. "They're learners." Zeus scoffed. "Let me try." He grabbed some clay and made a human with giant ears and no knees. It fell over immediately. The next had a horn. Another had six legs. "These are fine," Zeus muttered, "but yours are too delicate. They'll never survive." Prometheus smiled. "Not without help." And just then a shimmer of olive light descended. It was Athena, the goddess of wisdom, knelt beside Prometheus. "You made the bodies," she said. "I'll give them something more." And with a single breath, she filled the clay with consciousness. Eyes opened. Hearts beat. The first human stood blinking in the sunlight, utterly amazed by everything. Athena touched their foreheads and thoughts bloomed. Language, memory, awe. Prometheus wept with joy. "They're alive," he whispered, and curious. But Zeus saw something else. He saw creatures that asked questions, creatures that might challenge him someday. He scowled. "You've made them weak," he said. "Leave them. Let nature teach them how hard the world is." And so the gods returned to Olympus. But Prometheus stayed. He watched as his humans stumbled, shivered, scratched symbols in the dirt. They had no fire, no tools, no warmth. They were clever, but cold. Alive, but barely surviving. Prometheus couldn't bear it. He looked to the sky, to Olympus, and he made a decision. "If the gods won't help them," he said, "then I will." Because they weren't just sculptures anymore. They were his children. And a true creator never abandons his creation. Have you ever tried to start a fire without matches? No stove, no lighter, no flashlight on your phone? Just sticks and hope. Now imagine trying it with nothing at all. No flame, no spark, no idea what fire even is. That was humanity at first, cold, hungry, and afraid of the dark. Prometheus watched them from a cliffside. They huddled in caves, they flinched at thunder, they whispered into the night, hoping someone or something would answer. And Prometheus heard them. He went to Zeus. "They need fire," he said, "to cook, to stay warm, to survive." Zeus looked down at the flickering humans and frowned. "No," he said. "Why not?" "Because fire is ours." Zeus's voice rumbled like distant thunder. "It's divine. If you give it to them, they'll start building, thinking, questioning, and one day they'll stop fearing the gods." Prometheus paused. Maybe they should. Zeus didn't answer. He just turned his back, and the sky clouded over. But Prometheus had already made up his mind. Late that night, while Olympus slept, he crept into the chariot garage of the sun god Helios. There, on a golden wheel still warm from dragging daylight across the sky, Prometheus lit a hollow fennel stalk, an ancient torch. He held it high. It danced with golden orange light. Then he ran. He crossed the sky, down the slopes of Mount Olympus, through the clouds, and back to Earth, his torch still burning, and when he reached the humans, he gave them their first fire. They gasped, cowered, then crept closer, and when they felt its warmth, they laughed, they danced, flames crackled, shadows moved on cave walls like stories, and civilization began. With fire, they cooked food, forged tools, lit the night, sat around campfires and shared ideas. They weren't just surviving, they were changing. Zeus noticed. From his throne, he saw the flickers of light spreading across the world. Campfires, kilns, beacons. He saw smoke rise into his sky. And he knew. Prometheus had disobeyed him. The king of the gods clenched his thunderbolt. He gave them fire, Zeus growled. They'll think they can do anything now. He rose. There would be a punishment. Not just for the theft, but for the defiance. Zeus could not allow gods or titans to break his rule without consequences. Prometheus had lit more than a fire. He had lit a revolution. Zeus didn't strike Prometheus with lightning. That would have been too quick. No, this punishment had to be remembered. It had to echo through the mountains. So Zeus summoned his smith Hephaestus and gave the order, "Take him to the edge of the world. Chain him where no mortal or god can reach. Let him face the sky he defied." And so it was. Prometheus, the fire giver, the human maker, was dragged to the Caucasus Mountains, a jagged range so high that clouds clung to the cliffs like frightened birds. Hephaestus, though reluctant, did his duty. With divine chains, he fastened Prometheus to the rock, arms spread, feet locked, unmovable. And then came the eagle, a massive creature forged by Zeus himself, with wings like bronze shields and talons sharper than any sword. Each day it flew to the mountain and tore at Prometheus's liver, because livers, according to divine biology, grow back overnight. So the pain never ended. Day after day, night after night, tear, heal, repeat. And still, Prometheus never begged, never wept, never said he was sorry. He only looked down at the world below, at the fires still burning, and smiled. Because the humans were surviving. No more than that. They were thriving. They had learned to build homes, tell stories, care for one another, invent tools, ask questions. And Prometheus, bound to the stone, knew it was worth it. Now here's something most people miss. Prometheus wasn't just being punished for fire. He was being punished for belief. He believed that humans could become more than servants. He believed they could become something new. And Zeus, he feared that belief might come true. Because each fire lit in the dark was a tiny act of rebellion, a flickering reminder that power doesn't last forever, that even gods can be questioned. Some gifts are dangerous, not because they burn, but because they illuminate. From his rocky prison, Prometheus watched as the world grew brighter, and far above him in the storm-wrapped halls of Olympus, Zeus began to wonder, how far would the fire spread? Centuries passed, empires rose and fell. Mortals tamed rivers, carved roads, named the stars. Fire warmed their homes, forged their weapons, lit their temples. And still, Prometheus hung on that cliff. Every day the eagle came, every night his wounds healed. He never screamed, but he watched, always watching. Then, one day, footsteps crunched on the high mountain path. It was Heracles, son of Zeus and a mortal woman, strongest of mortals, deepest in sorrow. He had been sent on 12 labors, each more impossible than the last. And this one? To climb the world's edge and face the eagle. He saw Prometheus, the chains, the blood, the knowing eyes. "You've suffered long," Heracles said, "and you've suffered well," Prometheus answered. The eagle shrieked, diving once more, but this time it met Heracles's bow. With a single arrow, the beast fell. Prometheus gasped, not from pain, but from relief. Heracles approached and broke the divine chains. One by one, the mountain trembled as they fell. Then the sky darkened, a low rumble. Zeus. He didn't come with lightning this time. Just silence. Watching. You dare free him? He asked. I do. Heracles said, standing tall. He gave us fire. That debt is paid. Zeus studied them both. And then, he said, Prometheus may walk free, but first he tells me the secret. Because Prometheus still held one thing from the gods, a prophecy, a truth whispered by time itself. And now, with his arms free and blood still fresh, Prometheus leaned close to Zeus. He didn't shout, he whispered. One day your lightning will no longer frighten them. They will steal it, not from Olympus, but from the sky itself. They will send it through wires. Speak across oceans, think faster than thunder, and when they no longer fear you, they will forget you. Another will rise, not with power, but with harmony. She will not rule. She will listen, and she will take your place, not by force, but by invitation. Zeus's eyes flared, but he said nothing, because even the king of the gods knew some truths cannot be unspoken. He turned away and vanished into cloud. Prometheus looked out over the world. The fires still burned. Heracles offered a hand, and Prometheus stepped forward, not just unchained, but vindicated. I've always loved Prometheus, not because he was clever, though he was, not because he defied Zeus, though he did, not even because he shaped humans from clay, though that was quite a feat. No, I love him because he believed in you. He didn't see mortals as servants or spectators. He saw you as partners, as future builders, as equals, even when you were still mud and breath. And the fire he gave, it wasn't just warmth, it was possibility. You see, fire does more than burn. It forges, it creates, it illuminates. It is both dangerous and necessary. Zeus feared that fire would make you bold. He was right. It did. You told stories, you asked questions, you discovered laws, not just the kind with kings and scrolls, but the ones hiding in stars and atoms. You lit more than campfires, you lit up the world. And eventually, yes, you did what Prometheus foretold. You stole Zeus's lightning, not with spears or swords, with science, with wires, with a little invention called the telegraph. When you learned how to send messages through lightning, when you tamed it, understood it, and shared it across the globe, something changed. You no longer needed Zeus to speak from the sky, and slowly you stopped listening for him and started listening to each other. Prometheus paid the price for your potential, but he never asked for thanks, only that you use the gift well. And now it's up to you, because you were shaped from earth, lit by fire, and awakened by thought. What you build next, that's your divine inheritance. Next time I will tell you about the first women, because as much as I like Prometheus, he was not really that smart. He created mankind, but it didn't enter his mind to make women. Next time I will tell you the story of Pandora, the first woman. Until then, stay curious and be kind. Much love, Harmonia. Oh, before you go, one more thing. Traveler, if you enjoyed our time together in the halls of Olympus, there's a gift you can give in return. Just a little thing. Leave a 5-star rating and share this podcast with a friend or whisper it to the wind. The gods love a good rumor. And if you're curious about the mortal world, its twists, its triumphs, its tangled histories, come find me in my other podcast, History's Arrow. There, we follow the path of humanity, one story at a time. Until next time, walk wisely, speak kindly, and never underestimate the power of a good story. Your friend, Harmonia.
This podcast is a production of Red Buoy Media, LLC. Content is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Share Alike 4.0 International. Please credit us, don't sell us, and share responsibly. Until next time, Fair Winds and Following Seas.